Ladies and gentlemen, we have ADP today. We talk about early rookies to avoid and who we're drafting ahead instead. Oh, fuck. I have to trim that out. Let's try it again. Stop laughing. It's making it hard on me. Ladies and gentlemen, we have ADP. Today, we talk about early rookies to avoid and who we're drafting instead. Starting now.
You are now listening to the Dynasty Rewind.
Welcome back to the Dynasty Rewind, everybody. I'm your host, Michael Bauer, the best in the business. Once again, back in business, joined as always by my faithful co-host, Nate, the somewhat lumberjack Christian, right? You got a little flannel going on over there?
That's what I do in the wintertime, you know. I don't have my beard out right now, but usually in the wintertime, especially around like December when it starts getting cold. It's all flannels and a beard for me. Not the professor so much in the winter, more of the lumberjack. But I guess Bob's got the lockdown of the flannels around here.
I was actually going to wear a flannel today, but it's just a little chilly in my house. And instead of turning my heat up and letting everybody be comfortable, I put on a sweatshirt instead. That's what I do. Wow. So
look at you. Now I want to say this is a legit flannel. This is like Pendleton.
I bought mine at JCPenney.
That's good too, Mike.
Yeah, it's great. You know, you got to avoid cheap clothing unless you're me. And we're going to tell you rookies that we're avoiding in the early rounds of the draft. Maybe we'll throw some other guys in there too. Who knows? So listen, the important thing is, it's not always knowing, and this is a point that Bob makes, and I agree with it 100%. It's not always about knowing who to draft, but sometimes about knowing who not to draft. And, you know, maybe you still want these guys.
Good point, Mike.
Sorry, I remember him
saying that all the time. And now he's saying it because I say it all the time. Just like I say the athlete running back thing. Come on.
I remember him saying it more recently, which is why I said that, okay? Forgive me. Regardless. It's not that we don't like these guys. We just may not like where they're going off the board at. So we're going to tell you we're avoiding them here. Here's why. Here's who we want instead. And you know what, guys and gals, if any women listen, if they do, DM me. Nothing weird. Just want to know, do any women listen to this podcast? I'm just curious. We have ADP. We have Dynasty Rewind ADP. Right now, all of our ADP is based around Superflex Leagues. So if you would like access to that, patreon.com/Dynasty Rewind. And by the way, we're giving out free 7-day trials. As a matter of fact, we had 2 free 7-day trials this week. They loved it so much. Within a day or two, they were already upgrading. They were paid patrons. They're happy about it. You will be too. Get you some Discord. Get you some free pods. Get you some ADP.
You won't be disappointed. I can promise you that. It might not, if it's not your flavor, that's one thing, but you will not be disappointed by the Discord.
You know, we're hearing people say that it is the most active Discord that they're in, much to my chagrin. It is well known that I do not like group chats, but I'm there for the people. And I will say what we got going on, you know, no disrespect to how other places run ADP. I understand that it is a large undertaking to do. DLF does it. They do mock drafts through MFL. We're doing on Sleeper right now. We're running multiple drafts a night, a day. And shout out to Caleb. Shout out to my man Hoff. These guys are really putting the work in to get this ADP in. They're doing a fantastic job. So kudos to them. Kudos to all the Rewinders helping out in there. Nate and I are jumping in when we can too. But, you know, we're doing lots of stuff.
You got the draft itch. Come join us.
Yes. We will scratch your itch. Yes, I said that, Nate. Let's get to the first player you are avoiding. And then you also tell me who you're drafting instead and the most important reason why.
All right. Well, the first person I'm avoiding, Mike, is Blake Corum, running back out of Michigan. Currently ranked 16th in ADP on Sleeper, 18th in DLF rankings for rookies, and 301 in the Dynasty Rewind ADP. That's 25th overall. So you can already see we are a little bit lower on Blake Corum than consensus. And there's good reason, because Blake Corum, what he has done in his college career has been very impressive. But I've talked about it here on the show before. Since he got injured with the knee injury at the end of last season, he has not looked the same. And there is the caveat that this is the first year back from the knee injury. I don't believe it was a torn ACL, because he was trying to come back from it within that season. So I assume it's somewhere in between. But he has not looked like the same player. He has really lacked explosiveness in 2023. And we can see it because breakaway runs last year, in 2022, he had 22. This year with Michigan, on 10 more attempts, only 13. Also, if you look at missed tackles forced, that's where it really shows up. Last year, 73 missed tackles forced. This year, 30. So that number is less than half. You know, yards after yards after contact per attempt, last year, 3.35. This year, 2.42. Mike, anytime it's under three, I'm concerned. I want to see my prospects hit three. And he did that the 2 years prior. But coming back this year, like I said, just did not look the same, did not look as explosive. He has good vision. I like how he can run behind a big, strong offensive line. I've said before, if he goes to a place that already has a strong offensive line, I think he can excel. But if he's asked to create his own yards, I don't think he's really capable of it at this point. Okay. Just I think athletically, physically, it's just not his game. And that concerns me, especially in the early second when I want a player that can create yards. Now, Mike, I know a player at the running back position who can create yards.
Tell me.
That is Marshawn Lloyd, okay? Marshawn Lloyd is one of my favorite running backs this year. I've really enjoyed him. He killed it at the Senior Bowl. I've said it before in just this, the live stream we had this past weekend. He was voted the team running back for the national team by the opposing defenses. They were like, that guy is the hardest guy to tackle. That guy is the hardest guy to stop. And the NFL scouts noticed. We've seen it. He's moving up boards right now, and I love it. And talking about missed tackles forced, Marshawn Lloyd's pretty good at it. He had half the attempts, less than half the attempts that Blake Corum had this year, and he still had more missed tackles forced, 47 on the year. 3.97 yards after contact per attempt. And last year for South Carolina and the SEC, 4.05, Mike, yards after contact per attempt. I don't see over four very often. Those are the really, really good running backs. Marshawn Lloyd, I think, is someone we need to be paying attention to. And right now, he is a value compared to Blake Corum. Blake Corum's 16th on Sleeper. You double that to 32, and that's where Marshawn Lloyd is on Sleeper ADP. He is 30th in DLF rankings and currently the 302 in Dynasty Rewind ADP, a spot right after Blake Corum. People in the Discord, they're ahead of the game, Mike. That's why you want to get in the Discord. You can see it here in our ADP versus consensus ADP and rankings. We are ahead of the game. We are looking at the stats. We are doing the diving in right now. These people, we're going to start seeing the Blake Corum narrative shift. I've already seen it on Twitter where people are starting to realize the missed tackles forced, the lack of explosiveness in 2023. We've been there. We've been there, Mike.
Yeah, for sure. And I can't also wait till Sleeper gets all the guys in there, like Cody Schrader, Jalen Wright's not in there yet. There's a couple of wide receivers missing as well. I know Luke McCaffrey, not represented yet. And I like him as a late round guy as well. But I'll tell you who I'm avoiding. That's Florida State wide receiver. I can't say wide receiver, right? Florida State wide receiver, Keon Coleman. Look, he's supposed to be a contested catch machine. He's not very good at it. And there's a lot of inconsistencies in his game. Burst, hands, route running, and separation. Sometimes he looks really, really good. And this is what frustrates me about this guy. And other times he's just really, really average. I really think he should have came back for his senior year at Florida State. He would have been playing with DJU. Same coach, same system. He would have been the guy because his teammate Johnny Wilson is coming out for the draft. And I saw some people boasting on Twitter about Johnny Wilson. Guys this size shouldn't be able to do this. Is he fast, or is it's just one of his strides covers three times what a normal person does? I don't know. I don't think that he looks great either. I know I'm talking about Johnny Wilson now, but I think he's just a very awkward mover. His motions are not very fluid. I don't think I want any pass catchers from Florida State unless it's Trey Benson.
I'm interested in Johnny Wilson if he converts to tight end.
If he converts to tight end, yes. But I'll tell you what, I'm not interested in Jaheim Bell. He's a little bit of a tweener. If he goes somewhere and they're like, you're a fullback now, and it's like, okay, so I could pick up the next Kyle Hughes check off the waiver wire when all my running backs are hurt, I'll consider it then.
Yeah, but I'm hoping he goes to a spot that's going to move him around. I think I've mentioned, like, not that he compares to Johnny Smith necessarily for me, but a player who could be used in an offense like Johnny Smith because he's athletic, a little bit smaller, but you got to get him smaller.
I think he's like 6'1".
6'1", yeah.
But instead, I would rather get Texas wide receiver Xavier Worthy. The vibes check out, Nate. I know that's very important to you. And this is a guy that glides after the catch. Very smooth player overall. Did see some focus drops, but he's not a perfect prospect. I feel like his immediate and long-term upside is better than Keon Coleman's. I love his release. He has game-breaking speed. He brushes off tackles fairly well, too. And his ADP, as per the Dynasty Rewind ADP, is 202, which, Nate, is later in the draft a little bit than Keon Coleman. So you could trade back a few picks, pick up some extra capital, and what I think is a better wide receiver prospect.
Yeah, and Mike, I want to put some stats behind what you said earlier when you said that Keon Coleman's not a very good contested catch guy.
We did discuss this once before, I believe, but I want to go back over that.
Anyone who hasn't heard the stat, 33% contested catch rate. Meanwhile, guys like Roma Dunze are like over 60. You know, those are the guys you call good contested catch guys. Yes. Keon Coleman, while he has shown flashes of it, the inconsistency is what we're worried about.
Yeah, and I do like Keon Coleman. I think athletically, he has a great athletic profile because I think, like I said, at time, his burst and his speed looks really good. It's just like he doesn't know when to use the tools that he has, and that's very frustrating to me. So I do think another year in college would have been beneficial for him. Unfortunately, this is where we're at now, and hopefully that doesn't hinder his draft stock too much. But, Nate, let's move on to the next player you're avoiding and who you're picking up instead.
Yep. So I was looking at ADP around, and Will Shipley out of Clemson, who's some guy that I have been a big fan of through much of his college career. Currently 23 ADP in Sleeper, 25 on DLF rankings, 307 in the Dynasty Rewind ADP, which would be the 31st overall. So we're a little bit lower in Will Shipley in the Dynasty Rewind than consensus. And part of that reason is we kind of peg him more as receiving back, Mike, don't we? Don't really think he has, you know, I think he's a decent runner. I think he certainly can be used in that capacity, but I think he's a much better receiver. I think that's where he's going to have his role in the NFL in a committee as a receiving back. And there's value in that. I'm not saying don't draft Will Shipley. I'm happy to pick him up at the end of the third round. But, you know, with that ADP and consensus, 23 on Sleeper, that is the end of the second. And there are other guys I want at the end of the second who I think offer a more three-down workhorse role skill set. Not that I expect those guys at the end of the second to become workhorses who are going to see 300 carries a season. But if they can offer that to a team, then when there's an opportunity for volume, they can be used in that role. Or even if there's not an opportunity for volume, they can be used in both areas, which that versatility just gives me more opportunities for me to see you on the field. Well, Will Shipley, if he's more of a receiving back, then he can be totally taken out of a game-by-game script. We've seen that before. That is one of the worries with a player who's more of a receiving back. Depending on how the game goes, they might be totally out of the game plan. But, Mike, there's one running back that you can pick up pretty easily in the end of the second. You get well into the third usually.
And I'm doing it. I'm doing it if I can.
It doesn't matter what the game plan is. They're going to be handing the ball off to Ray Davis. They're going to be throwing the ball to Ray Davis. Ray Davis is one of my favorite running backs in this draft class. I'm a huge fan of what he's brought to the table. He has been a transfer. He transferred over to Kentucky this past season and did some really impressive stuff over there. 5'10", 216 pounds, ran for over 1,000 yards. He caught 32 balls. You know, Ray Davis brings power. He brings vision. He doesn't have the long speed that some of these other guys have in the class, but he gets the 20-yard mark. He gets the 30-yard mark with these runs just fine. It's the fact that he's not going to outrun the safety once he's gotten past the second level. That's okay with me. I can survive off of that. With a guy who has been this consistent throughout his career, over 1,000 yards the past 2 years. He has almost 1,000 yards for Temple in 2019 as a true freshman. Yeah.
He's been around.
He has been around. He was at Temple. He was at Vanderbilt. This year is a grad transfer. He was at Kentucky and showed what he could do in the SEC, averaged 5.7 yards per attempt, and he caught the ball. Mike, he had a career-high 32 receptions, like I said, for 324 yards. Yeah. So I really like what I've seen out of Ray Davis, who also had a really good Senior Bowl. I'm always a fan of players who have good Senior Bowls. The NFL takes notice, especially over the past couple of years. If you perform at the Senior Bowl, usually really helps out your NFL draft stock. I kind of had Ray Davis pegged as an early day three running back. I think after the Senior Bowl, there's a chance he comes into day two. You know, it's kind of a mixed bag there at the running back position in the third round. So we'll see what happens. But Ray Davis right now, 35th on Sleeper ADP, 31st in DLF rankings, 306 in the Dynasty Rewind ADP, which is one spot ahead of Will Shipley. Our people know.
They do. And you're going to know to hang out real quick. After brief words from our sponsors, I'm going to come back and crap all over a quarterback.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
All right, welcome back, everybody. And today, what's that?
I can't wait. Let's see what you got to say, Mike.
Not today, but right now I'm telling you why I am avoiding Washington quarterback Michael Penix Jr. So he has some very odd arm angles and interesting mechanics overall. And at times he hits receivers with ease. Other times he's just, guys are wide open and he's nowhere near. It's almost Joe Milton-esque. He's season-ending injuries in each of his four seasons at Indiana. Are those issues ever truly behind you? We've seen it before with guys and they a couple injuries early on in their career and then they turn out to be okay, but you never know. Inconsistent footwork. He does throw well on the run though, which I find hard to believe. I had other stats here. I don't know where they went.
Stats go away.
I don't know where they went, but what I could tell you is he threw for like over 13,000 or 14,000 yards in his career, and 9,000 of those were in his last 2 years at Washington. So, you know, just a lot of injuries, and his Dynasty Rewind ADP right now is 208, which is low, I think, for a guy that, yeah, you know, a lot of people are expecting to be a starting quarterback, but at the 209, one spot behind him, I can get Florida State running back Trey Benson. And I know I'm not going position to position here. I'm kind of crossing positional lines, but I'm allowed to. It's my rookie draft and I'll do what I want to.
Sure.
Can he end up, Nate, being the best running back from this class? It's possible. We've seen that happen. It's wide open. And this is why people hate this running back class, because of the uncertainty. There's no Breece Hall. There's no Bijan Robinson. And that tears people up because they want to know. Mm-hmm. We know who the best quarterback is. We know who the best wide receiver is. We know who the best tight end is. We don't know who the best running back is yet because we're waiting for the NFL draft to tell us. And that tells all these analysts that they don't know something and they need to be right. So they're scared. But I'm telling you, Trey Benson could be that dude. Big frame, better hands than I expected. And running backs at times are more relevant faster. Penix could sit. Who knows? It could happen. We've seen it happen before. He could sit. He should sit for at least a year.
Yeah, I think Michael Penix Jr. is talented and brings a lot of upside to the position.
He does. But
I think the injury history is going to be a really big thing for the NFL. I know quarterbacks are valued, but when it comes to investing a first-round pick into a player, that is a lot of investment for an NFL team.
Yeah.
And I don't think a team's going to invest a first-round pick in Michael Penix Jr., just quite honestly. And from what I've heard on specifically NFL draft podcasts and sites, it doesn't seem like the majority, it's pretty controversial whether he's going to go first or second round. While a lot of NFL fantasy people really like him and they want him to go first round. But if they want him to go first round, that doesn't mean he's going to go first round. I really do have him pegged as a second round pick because of the injury history, because of some of the question marks and the fact that he's an older quarterback.
Whatever. Seems fair.
I think so. And if he sits for a year, I think Michael Penix Jr., I would much rather have Michael Penix Jr. sitting on my team for a year than Hendon Hooker.
Look, I'm not telling you that I've watched any film on Hendon Hooker or that I necessarily like him. I'm telling you the value is there. Shout out Zach Duarte for that one. Would you rather have Michael Penix Jr. or bubble screen Bo Nix?
I love Bo Nix. Bo Nix is becoming a take lock, a mock take lock to the Broncos at like 14. I'm all over that. If Bo Nix goes to the Broncos in the first round with Sean Payton, he is the easy 108 for me. If not, depending on if you need quarterback, maybe earlier.
All right. The next Paxton Lynch incoming, overdrafted quarterback to the Broncos. Nate, we got two more, one each. You do your last one. And I just talked about him before, but who's another player?
I don't know. How about that? You know, I almost avoided Trey Benson, but I couldn't give you a good enough argument to actually fully avoid him. I'm just a little bit lower on him than others.
Hey, Nate, it's okay. Yeah. It's okay that we disagree on things, but I'll tell you what, at the end of the day, I'm going to say this real quick, then I'm going to let you get to what you need to get to. It doesn't matter what we agree or disagree on in February, because the NFL draft is going to tell you who's right and who's wrong. That's it.
I know enough to know that I don't know everything. So,
yeah, I already forgot what you just said. I knew that hungry boats drink more water or whatever it is.
Oh, that's so good. Anyway, I'm talking about avoiding Johnny Wilson. Johnny Wilson, he's exciting. 6'7", 237 pounds. He's a specimen, as they say out there.
Oh.
41 catches, 617 yards this year, and 2 touchdowns. You'd expect more than 2 touchdowns for a guy who's 6'7", probably. But they didn't materialize. He played 4 years at FSU. Last year was his best year, 897 yards, 5 touchdowns. Averaged 20.9 yards per catch last year. I like Johnny Wilson a little bit. I like the talents he has. But right now, Mike, he is 34 on Sleeper. He is 43 on DLF rankings. They're a little bit more ahead of the game there, I think. And then he has the 405 in our Dynasty Rewind ADP. So that means he's 41 overall for us here at Dynasty Rewind so far in ADP, 43 on DLF rankings. So we're pretty similar there. But Sleeper still has him at 34. People are intrigued by the size. But the thing is, Johnny Wilson struggles to separate. He struggles to be consistent with his catching as well. Like, you know, we talk about these FSU guys. Oh, they're so good at contested catches. Well, he's got a 40.9% contested catch rate this year. Not terrible, better than Keon Coleman, actually, but not like a contested catch monster. Though I will say last year he did have a 52%, which is better. So overall, I do think he's a decent contested catch guy. But with the fact that he can't really separate, doesn't have the elite athletic ability, like the smoothness like you talked about, I would much rather see him at tight end where he can really be that big slot. I think if they move him to the NFL and they put him outside, try to make him an X wide receiver, it's just not going to work. It's just not going to work in today's NFL. But if you put him in the slot, you kind of play him as that big slot wide receiver slash tight end, whatever you want to call it, I think he could have some production there, some fun there, some potential there. But overall, I'm pretty much avoiding Johnny Wilson. I just don't think there's a lot to bring to the table with his future. You know, there's in-between players never really have successful careers. It's very rare that we see those tweeners and outliers have incredible NFL careers. So I'm going after Brendan Rice.
I love this.
Jerry Rice's son. If I want a guy who struggles to separate, I'll take Brendan Rice. Currently 36 on Sleeper, 42 on DLF rankings, and the 309 in Dynasty Rewind ADP. Yes, Brendan Rice, if you haven't heard by now, Brendan Rice is Jerry Rice's son, and he's a bit bigger than Jerry Rice. So Brendan Rice coming in here at USC, 6'3", 210 pounds. And Mike, I think he's one of the strongest wide receivers in this draft.
Yeah.
His physicality, at the catch point especially, very impressive. His contested catch rate this year was pretty low. He didn't really perform well in that area this year. But the past 2 years, 56% the year before that, 71% the year before that. He did pull in 12 touchdowns this year, so he was a red zone threat for USC, led the team in touchdowns receiving, 791 yards on 45 receptions. USC kind of struggled this year. They didn't have that like bona fide wide receiver one like they had last year with Jordan Addison. But Brendan Rice and Taj Washington together, they performed pretty admirably, I'd say. And Brendan Rice is someone that we should have been talking about more coming into the past month. And I know you said that, Mike, earlier. So I wanted to bring that up because I think that's a good point. A lot of people kind of had him pegged as just a decent college wide receiver. But getting into the film and seeing him at the Senior Bowl, while he may struggle to separate consistently, he's really strong. He knows how to play wide receiver. You can tell that he understands the techniques and the nuances of wide receiver. He obviously has learned a lot from his dad. Unfortunately, not the best separator, but checks a lot of the other boxes. And because of that, I'm happy to pick him up in the third round, especially over Johnny Wilson, who I don't really have a lot of faith in.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And, you know, watching Florida State film is really tough. I am not. Do we have to scout Jordan Travis by chance? Please say no.
Might have to take a look at him.
All right, well, I'm not a fan of you right now because that could not good. So I agree with you on this one. If he switches to tight end, my tune will be changed. Like you said, I agree with that. Otherwise, I'm out. And here is going to be the shocker of the show. Don't hate me. At the value, I'm avoiding Texas running back Jonathan Brooks. I'll tell you why first. His current Dynasty Rewind ADP is the 111. And this is not a knock on Jonathan Brooks, okay? This is just me checking the vibes on the running back position. He's coming off a knee injury. And I think you can get better value on a player that could be more productive right off the rip. We always talk about one contract running backs. So all 4 years of that contract need to count. You know, if you're going to redshirt a running back, it should be a guy you're drafting in the third or fourth round and you're prepared to put on your taxi squad, not a first round talent. Okay. So I'm going to draft someone else and I'll trade for Brooks next offseason if he doesn't do anything. That's what I would do. And if you miss out on him, I have really good news. The 2025 running back class is going to be looking mighty fine. Mighty fine. Who's a running back one in 2025? And why is it Omarion Hampton?
I don't know if it's Omarion Hampton. There's a lot of competition for the RB1 next year.
Yeah.
There's a lot of competition. I mean, shout out to Ollie Gordon, who was getting Heisman votes this year.
Yeah.
I am Oklahoma State.
Man. Is he 25 or 26? 25.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. And instead, Nate, I'm going to draft Oregon running back Marquise Bucky Irving. He's healthy. He's one of the best receiving backs in the class. Although, you know what? Marshawn Lloyd would like to have a word. Dylan Johnson, not a slouch as a receiving back as well. And, of course, Will Shipley, we talked about how good he is as a receiver. Yeah. He's great in space. He can break a game wide open. Oh, and his ADP is 205 currently, Nate, which is more gooder than the 111. I like Bucky Irving, too. I'm a big fan of his, and I think he's going to bring a lot to the table, honestly. So you always have to have a pivot if you can't get the guy that you want. That's why I would avoid him there. I still love the prospect, to be honest with you. Just telling you there's options.
I think there's an argument to be made. See, I love Jonathan Brooks. I have him as my RB1 in this draft class right now off of film grade. I think he's the most talented running back, the most complete running back in this draft class. But I get it. With the injury, and I think Jonathan Brooks is athletic, but is he Breece Hall level athletic where he can come back from an ACL injury within a year and put up really good numbers? I don't know if I have that much
faith. We'll find out.
We might. I think he'll play this year, you know, by like midseason, he'll be on the field probably. And he'll probably be one of those players where, you know, by the end of the season, he's starting to kind of pick it up a little bit. And, you know, he'll be someone we're excited about going into next offseason. But I understand the lack of production rookie year, the fans, you have to take a chance on somebody in the first round that you have an extra unknown factor that's going to be added into the prospect evaluation, into the NFL evaluation. And because of that, I totally understand trying to avoid more unknowns and going after a guy like Bucky or switching to a wide receiver at the end of the first round. And there also might be an option to buy Jonathan Brooks, you know, a couple months after the draft or into, you know, a couple weeks into the NFL season.
Yeah.
So I get it. I think there's an argument to be made both ways. And, you know, do you want to just go ahead and get the player you believe in, or do you want to wait for maybe a better value later? Probably can pick him. I'm sure you could pick Jonathan Brooks up for like an early second, a couple weeks into the season.
I think you're right. Yeah, for sure. That's all we got for you today. So thank you for listening, everyone. For Nate, I'm Mike. See you guys next time. If you want to level up above your competition, we invite you to become a member of our Patreon. For as little as $1 a month, you get access to our Discord chat, where advice is at your fingertips 24/7. When you level up to our $5 or $10 tiers, you get bonus podcasts, rankings, and specific tier-based chats. We are offering a free 7-day trial for a limited time, so head to patreon.com/DynastyRewind and tier up now. All right, everyone, that is going to do it for us this week. But if you're headed to a game, make sure you check out SeatGeek.com. It's your one-stop shop for all things live events. It offers the best price available. Use the promo code DynastyRewind. You'll get $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Don't forget, if you want to play some best ball, head on over to Underdog. It's the easiest buy-in in fantasy football. And it's not having to worry about setting your lineups, man. That's what it's all about. So again, underdog.com. Use the promo code REWIND. A 100% match on your first deposit up to $100. Visit our store over at payhip.com/DynastyRewind. That's where you find our roster reviews. That's where you find all of our manuals, everything like that. Head on over there now. Grab some merch at spreadshop.com. Link is down below. And we want to see you in our community. And that is patreon.com/DynastyRewind. But till next time, everybody, for my faithful co-hosts, Chev Nooney and Nate Christian, I'm your host, Michael Bauer. Be kind, please rewind. Thank you for listening.